Ask Catherine. One person asked me why we had a picture of Will Smith in the in Control 101 when, in fact, he made some quote that I was not aware of. I forget what he came out and said, but apparently it was something that the subscriber thought was contradictory to my opinions. Will Smith was played a lawyer, an enemy of the state, who's basically targeted by the NSA and the black budget guys. And I constantly talk about how I played Will Smith in real life. And so that's why our wonderful graphics artist, Ben Lazzardi, chose the picture of Will Smith. We weren't aware of the quote. And it's not a requirement at Solari. If you're a talented and amazing person who've done a lot of great things, we don't always agree with you, and you don't always agree with us, but we appreciate your talent. Someone sent in the story of the Fitbits. Various organizations have been collecting and mapping out the signal thrown off by everybody's Fitbit, and has been able to basically map out lots of secret facilities around the world where the army personnel are wearing Fitbits. It's kind of funny. Okay, next person writes, I appreciate your experts in information. I remember in the past you talked about geoengineering and weather manipulation. There seem to be so many dire issues, but I believe that this one is really important. When you did that wonderful work with Professor Skidmore, I thought, ha, so that is where the money comes to fund the planes and the constant spraying. Exactly. My husband and I were in Palm Springs 2 weeks ago, and the skies looked like something from Dune, crisscross lines and smeared clouds everywhere. Yet, there were people riding their bikes and sitting by the pool oblivious. I hope you will address this issue too this year. Dane Wigington from Geoengineering has been gathering and analyzing information on this issue for the past 12 years, patents, photos, legal team, water tests, plant tests, and a list of agencies contracted with either deny, deflect, or outright lie. I would appreciate your consideration of this topic. Couple things. If we want to stop this, you have to cut off the money. So my focus is figuring out how we can all organize to cut off the money. That's number one. So I continue to work on the missing money because my piece is let's switch the funding from something that's so negative to something positive. In terms of understanding the global spraying, what it is, I still think the two-hour special that I did many years ago with Clifford Carnicom is still the best. I check in every year with Clifford and he says no change. Not to say we can't drill down and find out more about what's in it, and do more testing. He has a lab and continues to do testing. But if you haven't listened to or read that original two-hour special with Clifford, I did a one-hour interview with Clifford, and then the second one was the two-hour special, and it still stands as one of the great all-time Solari reports. I do think this phenomena is clearly very, very important, but I think the way you have to stop it is you have to bring transparency to what is the black budget, what is the hidden system of finance, what is it financing, and why. And it's a much bigger piece than this. We also did a great interview with Dr. Gwen Scott about how to protect yourself physically from the impact of global spraying. And I would also encourage you to listen to that because it's very, very important that you do. Hi, Catherine. I'm currently a subscriber. I've inherited some money and want to know which direction to go regarding investing. I managed my mom's financing for about 20 years and did very well with NNN leases and dividend-producing investments. Going forward, I would like to build my portfolio, but it seems to me that there's going to be some crash of some sort. I also need to actualize an income from these investments. Can you point me to an article or book that would be helpful in making decisions such as these? In the best books for 2018 in the web presentation, and it will be in the PDF when we produce it for the annual wrap-up, I recommend best books for 2018, and two of them are from James Montier, Behavioral Investing, Value Investing. I think they'll be very helpful to you. If you look at the story about the bull equity market in News Trends and Stories Part 1, there's some great links to some great articles during the year in 2017 from Jeremy Grantham, who James Montier works for, and then an article by James Montier, another one from Guru Focus. And I recommend all of those, Montier, Grantham, and the Guru Focus article. Your key question is timing. When do you enter the market, and do you want to go long or be hedged? My way of dealing with the possibility of a major correction is to keep most money hedged, not all, but most. I've discussed this in the last couple of equity overviews, so you might want to listen to that. The question is, do you want to wait? We're 3 years overdue for a 10 or 20% correction. We now see Goldman saying we're going to get a 10 to 20% correction. We certainly started to correct a little bit, but that doesn't mean we're into that correction. But it would not surprise me to see one in the first quarter. If we don't, I can't believe we're not going to get one in May, but you may not want to wait that long. I would be very discerning, but I would recommend those two books and those articles. I would consume those first and take a serious look. If you go in before a correction at a hedging strategy, you give up some of your upside, including some of your dividend income. But I think in this environment, if we get a 10 or 20% down and you're hedged, you can sell the hedge and buy cheap at the perfect moment. And it's going to help your long-term returns greatly. Hi, Catherine. I've decided this year to withhold part of my taxes to protest indiscriminate killing of civilians and massive corruption in the military that you've done such a good job of covering. Do you have any advice on someone like me? And then you provided your letter, which I put into the notes. I think it is extremely important to enforce the laws, not break the laws. Now, there's big controversy as to whether or not there really is a law that requires us to pay personal income taxes. Put that aside, I'm much more interested in finding a way to organize at the state and local level to do escrows. I don't think that doing it individually will work. If it does work, then you need to be prepared before you send this letter to have organized your attorneys and your defense. So I would not do this, and I would not write the letter until I had worked with my attorneys to prepare what my defense was and was prepared to publicize it. The other thing, I wasn't clear about why you referred to Rumsfeld in 2001, the $2.3 trillion, and didn't use the $21 trillion or link to the documentation for the $21 trillion. So I would make sure, if you're going to bring up the missing money, that you make sure you have current numbers. Anyway, so you need to be prepared with your attorneys ahead of time as to what your defense is, because I think the chances of an effort to indict or prosecute are very serious. I am from Boston 45 years and now in St. Louis 25 years. Cliff High says mini ice age is coming, so somewhere down south, I would guess. But he just moved to Washington State. Yes, that's a very good question. If we're coming into a mini ice age, why did Cliff move to Washington State? Maybe Cliff isn't the guy you should be listening to on this topic. Too many rednecks in Georgia, too many unprepared elderly in Florida. I've been to East Texas and hated that. Bill Holter says South Texas has plenty of guns, so safe there. Please help. First of all, I don't know what is true regarding the weather, and I'm a great believer in choosing my pathway according to the service I'm supposed to, or the purpose I'm supposed to serve, as opposed to trying to get away from the risks. There are way too many risks to be able to address them all. So I'm not worried about the risks. I'm worried about making sure I do a great job at serving my purpose. So if I was going to move my base camp in the U.S., I would go to either Pennsylvania, Utah, or Idaho, which hardly reflects the strategy of Ice Age. If I wanted to go further south, I would consider North Carolina or the Hill Country in Texas. There's some people who like the Florida panhandle. A lot of this is finding the right town with the right cluster of people that you want to spend time with and can trust. And of course, if you really want warmth, you can go further south, get closer to the equator. But those are my suggestions of places I would consider in the U.S. The other thing I would say is I'm not looking for a place. I chose the current place where I have the equivalent of my base camp because I wanted to have as low overhead and low cost of infrastructure as possible. And I certainly wanted to be in a very rural area. Now that 5G is coming, I really want to be in a rural area. But I was not looking for one place. I'm looking to stay mobile, flexible, and resilient. Go look at one of my favorite movie scenes. It's up at Solari. Do a search for Movement is Life. It's with Brad Pitt. It's a scene from World War Z, which is a dreadful zombie movie, but Brad Pitt is explaining to someone that that they have to keep moving, and he says movement is life. The people in situations like this who get up and move when they need to are the ones who live, and those who won't move are the ones who won't make it. So I want to keep my possessions light and my overhead small and be prepared to move and stay resilient. Hi, Catherine. Just offering a suggestion for a possible interview on Solari regarding targeted individuals, as I think he's excellent in terms of his research and background and experience. He is Dr. Eric Karlstrom. Yes, he's one of the people on my list. I'm trying to figure out who to get to do targeted individuals, and I think that he's clearly on that list, so I appreciate that recommendation. That's important. Thank you for your work. Just finished listening to the fourth quarter wrap-up. Could you offer your take on the mass citizenship granted to the million-plus immigrants who then demonstrated like a bunch of demanding entitled brats, in my opinion, at the White House? Like many others who voted for Trump, I am profoundly disturbed by this action on his part. Nothing will ever be enough for the people who want open borders. This is complex. So you have two groups. You have a group of young people who were basically promised and financed to move up through the country. If you listen to our interview with Zach Taylor, you'll understand who they are. And they were basically young people who were recruited and brought in here, made promises. That's one. The second is a group who came here very young with their parents and have nothing to go but, you know, they were very young when they came here. This is the only country or culture they've known, all their friends, their network. They have no place, no way of integrating back into whatever country their family came from. And as a practical matter, sending them back there is a nightmare for them, a nightmare for that country. And the reality is many of these young people have the potential to be very healthy for our economy if you look at the demographics. And frankly, the Latin American and Mexican populations have done a much better job of integrating in than many of the Muslim groups in Europe. So there's a lot of human pressure to get them to stay, not to mention the promises that were made when they were recruited in. And now it's going to be very embarrassing to reverse it back. So there's a human tragedy story. There's an economic benefit story here to America. And there is all the political difficulties and diplomatic difficulties of sending them back and the economic expense. So anyway, but the reality is Trump, if you're the president, you're not a dictator, or certainly not yet, and you have to negotiate. So this is one where if Trump agrees or goes along, he's negotiating a compromise. I think Trump is very committed to getting our immigration policies back in accordance with what the laws are. So in rebuilding the alignment between what the law says we're supposed to do and what we're doing. But the reality is if he compromises, it's because in politics you have to compromise to get a lot of different things done. And he needs the Democrats. You know, there's some things he can get done with 50 votes, and he has 51 Republicans, but there are other things he's got to have. So, for example, they need a cleanup bill on taxes. They can't get that without the Democratic vote. So it is what it is. It's politics, and the Democrats have power. Hello, Catherine. First, my appreciation and offer your research and commitment to bringing it to people like me is indescribable and life-changing, and I'm sure you hear that a lot. Yes, but I appreciate it. MSU connections. I'm curious what your impression is, if you have one, of any link between Skidmore's public announcement of the missing $21 trillion and the recent fallout of Michigan State University's president and athletic director, and likely more to come, given the information revealed in ESPN Outside the Line report that's been all over ESPN today, connected with MSU's systematic cover-up and mishandling of the Larry Nassar MD case and noise over sentencing this week. I've not spent a lot of time looking at the Nassar case. I know that there's a much deeper story there, and it looks like MSU is taking the fall for it. It's not unlike the Vatican taking the fall for the pedophilia and the Masons and intelligence community skating. So I know there's a deeper story there. I don't know what it is. Given Skidmore's experience in research, sort of researching what's going on in the country that led him to the missing money story and to working with me, I think it's highly unlikely that there was any connection between his starting to do the research and what happened with the Nassar case. I think the question is, given how supportive Betsy DeVos's family has been of MSU, you know, what was surprising for all of us was MSU, after Skidmore published the report and Forbes published the article about Skidmore's report, MSU came out with a press release, you know, in support of Skidmore's work. And you almost wonder if someone at MSU said, oh, this is perfect, we can whack them back. I don't know, but there's a much deeper story there. It would take a great deal of time for me to try and figure it out, and I haven't. And then you pointed out some other interesting correlations between Betsy DeVos rolling back Title IX protections 2 days after meeting with the MSU president. And I just can't comment on it. I don't know anything about it. It'll all be in the notes. Dear Catherine, I just listened to your discussion with Adam Trombley from 2011, read the transcript again to try and learn more about the QRS. And then there's some questions about the QRS, and they wanted confirmation of where I bought my QRS. So I had my assistant send you the contact information on where I purchased mine. I've had two now. The first was a gift, and the second one I purchased. I also should mention there's a new similar kind of machine called a pulse harmonic, and I've been trying that one as well lately and don't have anything to report yet. I have a lot more to learn. Dear Catherine, I've been following your blog for years and just this year finally became a subscriber. Someday when I have more time, I will tell you my story of how I was harvested. I want to give you a heads up about a story and event that will be commemorated next Monday, January 29, 2018, near Preston, Idaho. The Northwestern Band of the Shoshone Nation will be commemorating the massacre of their tribe by American troops in 1863. Darren Perry, the tribal chief, has a very interesting story to tell and is a very articulate and charismatic person. It was his great-grandfather who was the chief at the time of the massacre. It was the largest slaughter of Indians by federal troops in U.S. history. Estimates are of between 300 and 500 men, women, and children, and it is not taught in schools. What I find most interesting is the situation of the tribe today. They are the only tribe in the United States not to have a reservation. They don't have any problems of domestic violence or drugs or alcohol abuse that other tribes have. Out of a tribe of around 550 members, they have 23 members going to college. The other seven tribes of Utah combined have about seven tribal members in college. Darren was recently thrown onto the national stage when a town in northern Utah, Wellsville, celebrated its beginnings and misrepresented Darren's tribe. The Ute tribe initially started a scandal, but Darren stepped in and met with the local town leaders and worked through the matter with them. Darren loves to tell his tribe's story and has a powerful message of peace and tolerance. After listening to your story about your decision to move forward with your defense against the government's false accusations against you, only if you could not lose your love of mankind in the process, Darren's story struck me as very similar. Below is a link to the contact page of the tribe. I'm sharing this with you in the hope that you will find inspiration in Darren and his tribe as they move forward in the 21st century, and perhaps it could be a message we're sharing on the Salir Report. Thank you for the lovely silver coin. I keep it in my purse as a reminder to be nice to everyone. That's the Salary silver coin. I really appreciate that, and I took a look at the website, but I need to learn more, so I will definitely keep that on my possibilities for our guest list. Dear Catherine, I met you in Larkspur at the time you asked me to drop you a line once in a while. And then she sends a story about the Hawaii missile incident. There's clearly a story there. I don't know what it is. It looks to me like the nuclear arsenal marketing program. Hello, Catherine. Last month, I joined the cruise and became a subscriber. Since then, I've spent innumerable hours listening to and reading items from your website. This isn't a complaint, but the volume of information is almost overwhelming. Yes, it is. I'm running as fast as I can. I'll catch up soon. As you mentioned in the most recent equity wrap-up, international and foreign stock markets offer better values. Let's see. Than the stretched US markets. A few years ago, I succumbed to fear porn and exited almost all my stock market positions, with the exception of some mining shares, which finally perked up. Now, that's the advantage of hedged equity, because you can stay in and protect yourself from a big down. I reviewed the charts of the foreign ETFs and would like to know if a small basket of these would make sense at current prices. I'm hesitant to re-enter the US markets until there's a decent correction, something I've been waiting for, but quite some time. While the Rambus charts were informative, I don't have the time or stomach for individual stocks and would prefer ETFs or carefully selected fund. I am not an ETF fan. I think the ETF have the advantage of lower transaction fees, but I don't think the legal I think we get in a tough liquidity event. The ETFs are not where I want to be. Have you considered offering sample portfolios detailing percentages within the foreign markets? That would be a tremendous help. As an investment advisor, I can only do that if I'm registered in all 50 states that the subscribers are in, or if I'm SEC registered. And in fact, I'm going the opposite direction. I'm working on screens. We've launched them, but I'll announce them sometime during February. I'm doing two screens, Solaria World and Solaria Space working, sorry, Solaria World and Solaria Space working with an asset manager, and I can do that without being registered in all 50 states. He has to be registered where he offers to more than five clients, or the company does. So I would love to. If it wasn't for the regulation, I would love to do that, but I really can't. I'm currently living in San Francisco and have found your comments regarding the recent fires to mirror my own. I'll never forget waking up at 1 a.m. that Monday morning. The smoke was so pungent, I was sure our house was on fire. Once I determined that was not the case, I went into the front and backyard and finally out in our street looking for the fire. Nothing, just dense smoke. It wasn't until I went online and I learned of the fire's location. This wasn't a natural occurrence. Since then, the possibility of further such situations happening in our area lingers. We have limited space and many who want in. That is a very intelligent comment. We have limited space and many who want in. I'm going to say it again. It's a very insightful comment. We have limited space and many who want in. Thank you for your time. You're an invaluable source of information. I'm afraid there is going to be more of what I call the Phoenix Program. If you're not familiar with what's going on, what the Phoenix Program is, it was an eradication, sort of population reengineering, program in and re-education program in Vietnam under the Americans. And I would take a look at it, because if you understand the Phoenix Program in Vietnam, you'll be able to recognize what's happening here. I think it's highly unlikely that there would be the kind of thermal warfare we saw in Santa Rosa and San Francisco. I just don't think that's happening. If you look at the economic gentrification, sort of ethnic cleansing of the African Americans out of San Francisco, it's been going on, but it's much more invisible. Some of the examples we're seeing around the country, I put a video up from Reason TV called Battle for the California Desert. Why is the government driving folks off their land? Take a look at that one. That's an example of sort of one aspect of the Phoenix program. Another, someone sent me an email. Friday shooting at the Queensbridge houses, New York, CHA housing project plagued with various problems, but a sniper on the roof just arbitrarily shooting people. That is a Phoenix program operation. Let's see. As I recently start to contemplate the theories of an approaching ice age by diminishing energy output of the sun, and they go more on the theories of ice age. And of course, one theory of climate change is that we're coming into a new ice age. Another theory is that we're coming into progressively more warming. They continue with some other information examples and then say, I searched Solaria and didn't find anything really on this topic. Is this something to consider, or just another rabbit hole? Does this fit in with the geoengineering? Would an interview with Ben Davidson or someone in the field be considerable? Thanks. Do a search and read my review called This Does Not Change Everything. It's a review of Naomi Klein's book, This Changes Everything, and it describes the kind of integrated analysis I want to see on the climate change issue. I've never found it. I want to see something that integrates global spraying, weather warfare, electromagnetic fields, the possible deterioration in the electromagnetic field or an earth magnetic field and magnetic core, HARP, UFOs. I want actionable intelligence, so I need all of these things integrated into some kind of rational explanation of what the possibilities are of what's going on, what could explain it, and what does it mean to the weather. And so take a look at that. This does not change everything. I'm not interested in getting different people in the Slayer Report, the one who says it's an ice age and one who says it's, going to be warmer, or, there are lots of different points of view. What I need is an integrated analysis. All I see now is lots of different points of view, none of which are integrated. Hi, Catherine. I'm a new subscriber, but have known of your work for years. Slayer is amazing and such a great investment. Thank you so much for all your work. My question is that a lot of the companies that have been benefited from the missing money are most likely defense companies. They're also the companies that are most likely to increase in value due to the space economy play. If the you-know-what hits the fan with the missing money, will these companies be likely to be badly hit, thus negating the upside on the space play? Potentially, the whole corporate economy could be hit. At the same time, I think it's unlikely in this sense. There is an inelastic demand globally from a strategic leadership position to go to space. One of the reasons I'm pretty confident in the long-term trend in space is I think if you put me in Mr. Global's shoes, I would do the same thing. I think there is a commitment to build out our presence in space and not to bet the ranch on this planet. So certainly not the future of the human race. So I think this is a primary trend that's going to have absolute preference from the global political process, not just in the United States. If you look at the size of the Asian space programs, it's much more significant than ours. This is a global phenomena. So, yes, the federal government having to be able to having to comply with the law could absolutely reduce money flowing to corporations across the board. You name it, it's gonna cut the flow of money to the entire corporate infrastructure. So, but the reality is, I think we have a very long term, inelastic demand commitment to space. So, it's one area I'm pretty confident in. I was interested to hear you're skeptical on the repeal of net neutrality, and we go in. Here's the problem. You've got two sides on net neutrality, the FTC on one side, Google and Facebook. I don't trust either of them. So that's the problem. We have a battle of who's going to be the regulator, and neither of the regulators, in my opinion, are trustworthy. So it's hard to choose which one is better. Hi, Catherine. Do you know William Pepper from the transcript? One of the other things I wanted to say, we see, I think it was Montana pass a law demanding and requiring net neutrality within Montana. Now, that's what I trust, communities starting their own systems and taking steps at the state and local level to keep NSA and everybody else out, and to make sure that the big monopolies, and these are monopolies, if the law was applied, they wouldn't be allowed to exist. But I think it's time for state and local government to get deeply involved in making sure these monopolies can't rape consumers anymore and practice surveillance capitalism. And I don't care whether it's NSA doing it or Google and Facebook doing it. To me, it's the same thing. Hi, Catherine. Do you know William Pepper? And then there's a long description of William Pepper and his work. He was the attorney who represented the King family. And it's really told the story of the assassination of Martin Luther King. Pepper's excellent. I regularly post his work, and I thank you for sending those links. I have great confidence in him. I think he was a great truth teller. Catherine, thanks for both wrap-ups, part one and two. Truly the best on the web. You mentioned you were doing a video on mind control. No, it's not me. It's the Aaron and Melissa Dykes at TruthStream TV. So, and then she made some suggestions on some great books. I've ordered the books. In fact, they've come in. So my pile of 300 bucks in the dentist growing every day. Hi, Catherine. Have you heard of Professor Yuval Noah Harari? No, he is the author of Homo Deus, A Brief History of Tomorrow. He contends that a new species of humans will emerge in the next several decades, and this species will merge with artificial intelligence and robotic technology, similar to the singularity proposed by Ray Kurzweil. He also states that religion will be replaced by Dadaism, which is basically the worship of algorithms. Professor Harari might be a fascinating guest to interview for Solari.